This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez. An anti-vaccine activist physically accosted State Senator Richard Pan near the state capitol building in Sacramento yesterday, shoving Pan from behind while live streaming the incident on Facebook.
Yeah, I pushed you.
But Pan says he's harassed practically daily on social media by anti-vaccine activists, and he worries about words turning to violence.
We got to tone down the rhetoric, and those who engage in that rhetoric, they should not be given a platform, because assaulting a public official is essentially the next logical outcome of a violent and inciting language.
Legislative leaders in Sacramento say they'll do what is needed to protect elected officials. Now to immigration policy. California politicians and civil rights advocates are outraged by the Trump administration's announcement that it will change longstanding rules that prevented migrant children from being locked up indefinitely in family detention centers. KQED's immigration editor Tyke Hendricks has more.
Homeland Security officials say the new rule will allow parents and children to stay together and end the magnet they say is drawing migrant families to the border. But if it takes effect, the rule would terminate a decades-old legal agreement known as the Flores Settlement that says kids should be released from immigration detention within 20 days unless they're in state-licensed facilities for children. California Governor Gavin Newsom said Wednesday that ending that legal settlement is immoral.
It's wrong. It's wrong-headed. That rule protects kids. That protects the most vulnerable.
And he suggested California might sue. But there's already a legal challenge underway in a federal court in Los Angeles, overseen by Judge Dolly G. Lawyers representing detained children in the Flores case have asked Judge G to block the new federal rule. Holly Cooper with the UC Davis Law School says the proposed rule could put children in prison-like conditions with their parents for prolonged periods. She says without the Flores legal protections, lawyers could also lose their right to inspect conditions for detained kids.
Children are telling us directly that I'm not being provided sufficient food, that I'm being pepper sprayed, that I'm being held in a solitary confinement setting.
Once the Trump administration's new rule is published, Judge G will decide whether it honors the Flores settlement or whether to grant an injunction to stop it. For the California Report, I'm Tyke Hendricks.
Let's turn to the Inland Empire for a related story. The Trump administration wants to lease the largest facility in the state to house unaccompanied migrant children. KQED's Michelle Wiley reports.
The proposal was posted earlier this month on a federal business website on behalf of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, or ORR. It's looking to lease a space for a shelter in the Inland Empire that could house up to 430 children. The lease term would be 17 years. And local members of Congress say they weren't informed. Congressman Raul Ruiz represents parts of the Inland Empire and sits on the House subcommittee that oversees ORR.
If members of Congress were not engaged, especially those whose area and region will be affected, then they definitely did not engage with local stakeholders and agencies, nonprofits, and foster care facilities regarding this project.
The proposal comes at a time when the number of kids in immigration custody is less than at the beginning of the year, but still remains at historic highs. Earlier this week, protesters gathered outside the San Bernardino Board of Supervisors meeting to protest the planned shelter. California currently has at least 9 other residential facilities for unaccompanied minors. If the proposal moves forward, it would not only be the largest shelter to hold migrant children, it would be the largest group home licensed in the entire state. Adam Weintraub is with the California Department of Social Services.
At the moment, the largest group home that the state of California licenses is 184 beds.
Weintraub says California has been moving away from keeping kids in large-scale group homes and instead placing them in family settings. And immigrant rights advocates say that should be the policy here, too. Krishomara Vignaraja is the president of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services.
You can put in case managers, you can try to set educational standards, but the reality is what you're setting are standards for an institution, as opposed to what I think any parent would want for a child, which is a family setting.
The proposed shelter is slated to open in December 2020. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
Let's turn now to health and what some of us inhale. State public health officials confirm there have been at least 21 cases of acute lung disease since June among people who vaped cannabis products. KQED's Laura Clivens has more.
Cases occurred throughout the state, with a cluster of 8 in Kings County in the Central Valley. Kings County Public Health Officer Milton Teske says the patients had pneumonia-like symptoms, felt weak, and were short of breath. They were otherwise young and healthy.
The only connecting factor that tied them all together was a history of vaping, THC, or CBD, or some combination of that.
All the patients had purchased the vaping products on the street, not from a licensed retailer. Teske says some of the people would have died if they hadn't sought treatment. For the California Report, I'm Laura Clivens.
Next year, America's big count begins, the 2020 U.S. Census. But a lot of census workers are already hitting the streets of California to confirm addresses, count housing units, and eyeball conditions in neighborhoods. Kathleen Woodruff is with the U.S. Census Office in Los Angeles.
The sidewalk you walk out onto, the bus that you're waiting for if it's on time, how many potholes that bus hits. Every type of data set that we collect is used by the census to make decisions on the federal, state, and local level.
And remember, we care about an accurate census count because it determines how many congressional seats a state gets and where billions of dollars in federal funds are spent. Let's turn now to education and a troubling episode of political extremism. Orange County's Garden Grove School District says it's investigating an incident recorded on video that shows members of a high school water polo team giving Nazi salutes. First reported by the Daily Beast, the incident occurred before an awards ceremony last year. Students then shared the video on Snapchat. The school district won't say if or how students or adult supervisors might be punished. To the north, Santa Clara County officials are launching a regional effort to combat hate crimes in the wake of recent mass shootings. KQED's Peter John Schuler reports.
County Supervisor Cindy Chavez and several San Jose City Councilwomen say they're joining forces because they can no longer wait for the federal government to act. Here's Councilwoman Sylvia Arenas.
Latinos are scared. We're hurt and we're angry. And we're so upset that people hate us so much that they're willing to shoot at us.
The officials are proposing the formation of a hate crimes task force to recommend specific things local governments can do, both to protect people and to intervene. Councilwoman Maya Esparza.
Mass shooters don't just appear from nothing, right? They get to that point. And so how can we prevent them from getting to that point?
The proposals will now go to the Board of Supervisors and City Council for approval. I'm Peter John Schuler, KQED News.
It's back to school season all over the state, including in Paradise, the Northern California community that was mostly destroyed by last November's campfire. KQED politics reporter Katie Orr was at Paradise Ridge Elementary yesterday with a special visitor.
This school is one of four campuses that survived the blaze. It's a series of older tan buildings with green roofs and doors, kids on the playground and walking to the pool across the way. Governor Gavin Newsom came here to mark the start of the new school year and started the morning off by talking with a group of second graders.
By the way, are you guys happy to be back in school?
Yes!
Yeah? Kind of fun, right? Do you guys have homework?
No.
Yes!
Not yet?
Yes.
Oh, next week it starts. Homework. But we love homework, right?
No!
Oh.
Yes!
Even though many kids are being bused in, they're full of energy and seem happy to be going to class back in Paradise after finishing last year at schools in different towns. Michelle John is superintendent of the Paradise Unified School District. She's thrilled that 46% of the district's students have returned for the new school year. And she says overall, they're doing well.
They're scared if you see smoke anywhere, like if a rice field is burning, you see smoke, that will trigger some kids. Fog will trigger some kids, but for the most part, they're really resilient and they're happy to be back. They love their teachers. They'd love to be in their school.
John says students have access to counselors every day if they want to talk about their experience with the fire and how it's making them feel. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden by saving energy through simple acts like adjusting the thermostat a few degrees. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org.
Hint Water. Hint is water infused with fruit essences, including watermelon and blackberry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in grocery stores. Hint, mouth-watering water. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that is the California Report for Thursday, August 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Have a great day.